Welcome to the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners meeting in a regular session. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Present via Zoom.
Commissioner Rome.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
I'm here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Once again, we got a full agenda tonight. Changes to the agenda.
Commissioner Stevens, I had just one, and I appreciate the two commissioners that brought this to my attention, but under advisory, item B, we have a second reading, an ordinance regulating encroachment into unauthorized areas. This should actually be action for tonight. And then per our legal counsel, if approved tonight, then it would take effect in 30 days.
Well, commissioners, anybody object to that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we're going to make this action item 8E as an echo. So there is a slight change to the agenda. And that the second reading of the ordinance regulating encroachment in unauthorized areas will become an action item that we can vote on tonight. Any other changes to the agenda? I'm going to call for public comment for items on the agenda when not covered by a public hearing. Opportunity to speak to the commission. We're going to change the 3 minutes to allow Mr. Tony Bowe from Bowe Electric to speak to us. And that will become item 7A, Tier 1 Building Generator Update. So we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Well, we can vote with one fell swoop. Meeting minutes, financials, any event calendar for February.
Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So meeting minutes, regular session, workshop session, financials, and event calendar are approved. We'll move on to advisory, Tier 1 Building Generator Update. Mr. Tony Bowe will speak to us. This is not an action item, but I encourage the commissioners to ask any questions you wish. And if it's the consensus of the commissioners, we can make this an action item later on, so we got to let your feelings know.
Thanks for your time, guys. Has anybody read the letter that was sent from Bowe Electric? I mean, it sent one out to Matt, and I was hoping that it got distributed to you guys, but maybe not.
You can read it.
Public readings. Tough on me there.
If we go ahead.
Actually, I'm just gonna give it to you guys, and I'm gonna kind of give you the short of it all since we've got a quick 5 minute deal. And you guys can read that at your discretion when you get time. So basically what's happened is I did this project, I don't know if you remember, I remember the last meeting. Hindsight, I really wish the commission would have listened to the guy that keeps the wheels on the cart, because he's worked with Ryan Wells with this project. I feel that there was a lot of time involved putting this project together. I was asked probably 2 weeks prior to bid time to put this project together. I feel really good about my bid. I feel that it was a fair bid for all parties. I included everything I was asked to include. As per the scope of work, I hope that you guys can go back and read the scope of work now that we're having this talk. So we bid the project. I know there was three different bidders, two locals, one out of town. I was obviously low. The preferred bidder would have been Mr. Wells, and then obviously the other guy was up there a ways, I think another 20 grand above me. So, but we bid the project. We were asked to rebid it with a breakdown. I broke down my labor. I broke down my material with a material list. That material list included a lot of the stuff we were asked to use from Mr. Isom Platt Electric. I included my excavating with a little bit of markup, and then also my plan review. So these, after we were asked to break things down, these were my items I included in my bid. Whoop, done, happy. We proceeded on the project. Difficult project. I was able to re-engineer things a little better, and obviously that was our money savings that I was able to pass on to everybody, was to use the conductors in the conduit. I relocated our gear. I was able just to cut the conduit, bring the same conductors up, use the gear, use the conductors, everything was great there. We got to a part of the project where I then called the power company, says, hey, how do we proceed? Maryland Power Company says, I'll write a letter to the port and give them our cost. And that's industry standard. The utilities is a whole other trade, whole other part of the process. I'm never involved with them except for coordination. So the Maryland Rocky there at the power company put a bid together, sent it to the court. I think that was on the November 13th, 14th, whatever. By the 25th, I received an email saying that I was responsible for this almost $7,000. That would, to me, be like asking Tony, I need an electrical bid for my house. And then as I'm wiring it and the plumbers give their costs, all of a sudden the owner's giving me, hey, here's the plumber's thing, you're supposed to bid this too. I mean, it's a whole different entity. It's like I say, it's not even industry standard. If that would have been something written up in the contract, somewhere in the scope of work, hey, give us a, I wouldn't even know how to bid any of the power company stuff. Typically, she didn't give us a bid until November. I bid the thing in July, April, whenever that was. Okay, July, I don't know when it was. Anyway, this is something, it was just kind of, it's not even, I know in the scope, they talk about the bidder's misunderstanding the scope. To me, there's no misunderstanding. I've been doing this almost 40 years. I've never come across where the contractor is responsible for the utilities of any kind. That's always fallen on the customers. So anyway, when I got this, it was just a shock to the system. Like I say, if there would have been an allowance, hey, electrical contractors, please leave an allowance for the utilities, bam, it would have been in there. I don't know how anybody else's bid looks. When we were asked to break it down and I broke down my four items, if any other contractor had that included that and mine wasn't, that probably should have been noted. Hey, Wells or Portland contractor, you know, you added that, they have it here, both doesn't have it. Something's wrong. So that's a typical process in bids that you usually say, hey, what'd he forget? How come he's so low? How come he's too high? And when you break things down, that usually gives you a key to go off of how to process your bids. Like I say, I'm a fair man. I run a fair company. I'm a local guy. I do a lot of donations for kids, love doing things for sports, 4-H, whatever we can. And so when I feel that, like I say, I did things to be fair for both parties, because I want that party to call me back, hey, Bogue was fair, let's give him another chance for this next project. I don't go in there with, hey, I'm going to just throw a big number on the wall, hoping that it sticks and I make a bunch of money. I don't work that way. I wasn't raised that way. That's not how I run my business. So I'm just asking you to please read the letter. Please read the scope of work again. I've read it many times, like I say, and I know that Mr. Wells and Joe spent a lot of time putting this project together. There was probably a lot of insight and intended process to this project that maybe they were more aware of, and maybe that's why Ryan was, maybe he had the perfect number, but he was also more aware of the big picture. And like I say, I hope in the future you guys do listen to Joe a little bit more. I've known Joe most of my life. He's always been a fair, hardworking man. And he keeps the wheels on the carts around here. He knows kind of what keeps the ball rolling here. So when he's working with somebody because I have the same customers. They use me for a reason because they know what I'm all about, and that's where Joe falls with his relationship with Mr. Wells. But anyway, my 5 minutes is probably well and gone. Please read the scope of work, please that, and I really, if I am responsible for the $7,000, it'll pretty much make this project for me a huge loss. Not a huge loss, but a loss. And for a small company like me, it's a big hit. But I appreciate your time and any consideration you have for me. Like I said, I have the best intentions to come in and do you guys a really good job, and I feel we have our progress on that. We're just waiting for Cummins or CAP. They just sent out a letter for me to fill in, making sure that I've got all my stuff, that they're ready. So now I think Joe's just waiting on them to schedule. We'll have a guy on site for the startup, and then we should be done with the project.
Yeah.
So everything's good. My inspectors gave me 5 stars. Everything came together real well for us. It was a scary project, but there was a lot of unknowns. But anyway, thanks for your time. And
want to take questions, please?
Oh, sure.
Commissioner, you want to ask questions?
If you had $6,900 in your original quote, remind us how that would have compared to the other bidders.
I didn't see all the numbers. I think you guys read them at the last meeting. I didn't really pay attention, but I think I was at 51. So that would have put me real close to Ryan Wells. I think he was 10 above me. I think he was just in the low 60s. But it would have been, Tim, it would have been really hard for me to even know that number. Even Marilyn, and I talked to Marilyn, I went to Marilyn, and I said, hey, have you ever come across this situation before? She goes, never. She was like, she goes, we give the number to the owners, and that's part of that. So I go, but when do you give a number? And she says, typically after the job's at your progress, so I know what's going on, so now I can give a fair number. So for me to come in there at that 69, I would have never known that, because she wouldn't even have known, because her numbers come when the job's almost complete, where she's finally asked to come in and look at it. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, so if maybe next time, if there's an allowance, if this is something that's on the agenda, saying when you guys say, hey, you know what, we want to give a number and we don't want to spend another penny, please do the homework and know what's going to, if you don't know what the power company is going to want, give an allowance. Hey, everybody needs to give a $10,000 allowance for the power company, and then any difference can be returned back after the quote, you know, after the bid is done or something like that. But it was kind of it's something I've never come across. And for this to save any misunderstanding, there wasn't a misunderstanding. There was never a consideration for me. I've been in the trade, like I said, a long time.
Do you think that the other bidders had any awareness of that very thing?
I had a brief talk to Ryan about this, and his take on it, like I said, that conversation pretty much between me and him, but he was pretty vague. He just said he'd worked a long time on this progress, and he just said that I didn't, without throwing Ryan under the bus, because I love the guy, but I just feel that he might have had a little bit more insight, just because he's worked on the project so long. So if he knew about the power company fees or not, I don't know. You know, and I don't know if that was expressed to anybody else or anything.
Just Ron, I think from our perspective, I can only speak for myself when I say our, but that we assume that the project would be all done for the amount that the contract was awarded for,
right.
And that would include the Civic Power's charges.
Right.
And so if you're short 10 and his bid was, if you're short 7 and his bid was 10 more, then
he was close
as far as the overall cost to it.
Right.
Because that would be another charge that the port commission would have had to approve, I guess, if that would happen. So it's unfortunate, but I think you had a lower bid, and we're like, nothing against you, why not let's go with the lower bid? I think that was the only thought process. So
Now
we're back to where his bid was. So we're not usually likely to out of hand contradict the staff recommendation. So in a way,
but if I'm asked to bid
money back, as it were, then we are. I guess the staff recommendation was correct.
As a guy that bids things every day, multiple times a day, and used to reading a lot of contracts and scopes of work, I bid at what's on the scope. I can't assume, or all of a sudden I'm that out of town guy at 20 grand and I'll never get a job. So I have to go scope of work. And like I said, only part when he talks about, and I have a feeling Ryan wrote up a lot of the scope. Maybe this was part of his, because I've done the same thing for other entities. It's a description of work. And so when he talks about PP&L pulling wire, you know, that's their part. That's like plumbers coming in and installing a hot water heater. You know, that's part of this, what it would take to do the job, but it doesn't say that it's my scope, it's part of the procedure of the project. And like I say, I understand what you're saying, but as the guy that bid it and that has to give you guys a true number, my only thing is not guessing what you want, it's what's written. So, just your side by side.
I think we got that one. Let's move off. Anybody else have a comment or a question?
And this is part of the contract, right here.
That's the request for bid, yeah.
That's the request for bid. And it is pretty specific.
Can you see where it says ask for a...
I don't see that.
So say what?
I don't see it. It says anything in this paper about it.
Ms. Campbell, do you have a question?
No, what is it that was not in here?
The power company fees.
The power company?
Because like I said, the power company fees has never been a scope of work. Or like I say, doing what I do, this is what I do for a living. Done it a long time.
Because we're reading here, for a full understanding of cost necessary to complete the work, the best bidder must include these as well. So to me, all done, that's your bid, you know.
And like I said, I'm obviously at your mercy.
Commissioner Spence, you have a question for Mr. Bowe.
Can you hear us, Frank?
No, no comment.
conversation would have to take place.
Yeah.
Whether or not the chair chose to put it on the agenda is his discretion.
Thank you.
I'm just here to defend where I'm at.
Will, have you seen this before? Where the Pacific Tower comes in with fees?
Well, yeah, I've seen them with fees, so obviously there's with any of these projects, different ways to write these up. I think one of the things, and Joe can probably speak to this more eloquently than I can, but in working with Ryan to develop this scope, as Tony pointed out, this was going to be a fairly difficult project.
Yeah.
And it was one of the reasons for the porch protection that in the solicitation on the invitation to bid, that we say that the successful bidder must supply all labor, equipment, supplies, and other necessary materials to complete the project, with the sole exception of the automatic transfer switch, which would be supplied by the port. And so, kind of from a process standpoint, obviously, we had, as Tony pointed out, we had three bidders, and it was actually the staff's recommendation to move forward with Wells Contracting. The commission at that meeting several months ago decided to move forward with Bogue, and so now that we have this disagreement, we're giving Mr. Bogue the opportunity to state his case tonight. And you know, I haven't had very much communication with the commission on this. The idea would be that moving forward, it would be up to the discretion of the commission to, in the future, make this an action item on a future agenda. And at that time, if the commission wishes to get further information from staff, we can provide that.
Thank you, Director.
And I even told Matt, I said, hey, even if we split, I don't know, but I just feel that it wasn't written. And like I said, that's true. But I understand where you're coming from. Anyway.
I am sympathetic, Mr. Bo, but I too find this scope of work and the invitation to bid comprehensive. And I did not see, and I don't see anything where I would challenge staff. So thank you for your input.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your time.
We're going to move along to action items. Action item 8A, approved spectrum contracts for fiber, page 21.
Thank you, Director. Commissioner. So actually, for the next three items, we have Melanie here, and she's going to walk through these with the commission.
All right, so if you turn to page 21 of your packet, we have a cover sheet for the contracts to bring fiber to the Gateway building. And just want to preface this by saying I know that the commission is aware we transitioned to Pacific Office Automation late last year for our managed IT services. So these three items are actually all proposals brought by the team at Pacific Office. And they made the drive out from Portland to discuss them. And I just want to say that I'm really excited about the progress that we're making in partnership with them on these three agenda items. Jacob.
Yeah, hi everybody. I'm Jacob Folk. I am the port's account manager from Pacific Office Automation. With me is Cortland Sorensen. He is the technical account manager, similar role to myself, but a little bit more IT savvy, and really acts as the, assistant CIO, if you will, for the port. And one big project we had as we were kind of onboarding the port as an IT customer, per the scopes of the RFP that we won, as we discovered that there were some connection issues between some of the point-to-point connections between the buildings. And this created issues, and Cortland can probably elaborate more than me, but when ships would come in or with a lot of the logs that are out there, when the stack gets too high, we noticed that we're having a little bit of interruption in some of the point-to-point connections that are trying to get internet basically through through the air, and that was causing disruption in cameras and some other bandwidth-related issues at the other building. The solution was to put fiber in at the other site, and we kind of scoped out that project, and then we're really happy to announce that in kind of scoping out that project and taking a more granular look at the port's internet contract, we are able to pull almost all of the incremental expense of the fiber back out by trimming some fat elsewhere within the port's internet contract. So we discovered redundant voice services. So for the last, I don't know how long, the port's been paying a little bit extra for some analog phone lines that aren't being used in conjunction with a separate voice over IP phone provider. And then additionally, there are some other kind of nickel and dime charges that we kind of went through and audited the invoices. And it's not a, you know, flip the switch and shut off process, but a big part of Cortland and my job working with Melanie will be to kind of audit some of these numbers, figure out are they alarm lines, are they fax lines, why are they on here, do we need them, can we cancel them? But from a preliminary look, we are able to strip the vast majority of the additional expense back out of the bill. So this project is one that we're pretty proud of because we're going to be able to have dedicated fiber in both locations, solve the interruption to the cameras, and the cost is going to be relatively marginal to what the quoted cost was.
So if the commission doesn't have any questions on that one, we just need, we would just need an action item, which would be a motion to approve both service agreements and authorizing Will to sign them.
And the additional cost is $680 a month, which is considered to be...
Yeah, so the initial cost, the $680 is added cost, but the numbers below are what would be removed once we get rid of some redundant lines. And I think the new delta is about $68.
Yeah, so initially the quoted cost from Spectrum is the $950. That's in the box on that attachment. We're adding the EPL private line. However, we were able to, in tandem, negotiate down the fiber contract for the 10 Pier 1 building, and so that took the cost from $820 to $550 for the same exact service, and so we were able to strip out some initial cost savings there, and then all kind of up and down this sheet, the highlighted in red items are ones that we're confident right away we can get canceled and we know you don't need them, and the yellow ones are ones that I'm pretty sure we can eliminate without any disruption, but it's not going to be overnight because we want to double check. Last thing we want to do is give up a number that was tied to an alarm system or something like that. So I think at the bottom here, this is kind of your monthly total internet bill. The specific contracted charge is the $950, but the cost delta after we swapped the 10 Pier 1 circuit is the $680 delta. And then after we eliminate the other stuff, gradually we're going to get down to where it's an incremental $68.
And I do just want to say, too, for the record, normally if you're bringing fiber to a building, I think the upfront construction costs to just run the wire sub-level is
$10,000 to $12,000.
Quite a bit. It's quite a bit. And that cost was actually footed by DHS. So they pay the cost to bring fiber cable to the building, and now we're paying to hook into that service.
Why would we approve both service agreements and authorize the executive director to sign?
Well stated. Do I hear a second?
One second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Have a unanimous approval? We'll move on.
Thank you. Good job.
Action item 8B, Pacific Office Automation Service Order, page 37. This is It's like a tennis match melody effect here.
Awesome. So yeah, this specific one is regarding both the copier as well as a printer out of Arena. So to give a little bit of context, when I was writing my bid for the Port of Astoria's IT services, I think it'd be fair to say, and Melanie could probably attest, one aspect that I believe was attractive in my bid to the port is that Pacific Office Automation is one of the only companies locally and the only company that was involved in the RFP that actually directly provides a lot of the services that your IT provider should manage. Meaning we can be a go-between with the port IT and the copier company because we are a copier company. Same with phones, same with security cameras, you name it. And so, you know, the picture I tried to paint in my RFP response is truly having, you know, one back to pat or one throat to choke, depending on how things are going. And that's a big part of the value that we bring to our customers is kind of ownership of the entire issue. And so, you know, one avenue that we saw an opportunity to kind of reduce expenses popped up in tandem with a need for a printer out at the marina. Currently, they have two pretty old brother printers. And the existing printer philosophy at the port is that the copiers are on a fully managed contract with all the service, parts, labor, toner, you name it, included. And then the printers are just purchased one-off. They're expensed, and then the consumables are just bought one-off for those printers. And the marina needed a printer that was a little bit more business grade than the kind of two older brothers that they had. So I drove one out here and set it up to kind of try it out and see how they liked it. And in discussing the economics surrounding keeping that printer, we brought up the copier lease because I gathered copies of kind of the existing contract during the IT RFP process. And I'm happy to report that what I'm proposing is for the same cost as the existing copier contract with Solutions Yes, I can provide the same exact copier, a new one of course, as well as the printer that's currently sitting in the marina, and having both of those covered for slightly less than the existing cost. It's not a dramatic amount of cost savings, but it is kind of two printers for the cost of one, and both would be covered for all service, parts, labor, toner, supplies, etc. And so I think, to kind of elaborate my point, the cost analysis here is what I'm going to be referencing, skipping past the contract to the little side-by-side. And I can kind of break this down. So on the left-hand side here, we have the existing copier lease payment of $160 for the Kia Cera machine. That lease has 29 months left, and it's an operating lease. And then we have the second bill that comes with any copier contract, and that's for the amount of pages that are printed. I took an invoice from October, and I looked at the page volumes that have been printed for black and for color, and I came up with kind of the total expense associated with that copier. Secondly, I tried to estimate, based on my industry experience, the cost of the quill.com toner and consumables that are being put in the printers. It's not an exact science, but just taking the cost of one of those cartridges and dividing it by the page yield gets you close, but every manufacturer kind of fights to pump up their page yield as high as they legally can. And in reality, most people don't get the full yield out of those cartridges because they only account for 5% page coverage. Boring printer knowledge that nobody needs to know. But I attempted to estimate the ongoing cost of those printer cartridges coupled with the copier, and then on the right-hand side, what I'm proposing is the same lease structure, a 60-month operating lease. The lease payment for the equipment would go up slightly, but because we have two machines instead of one, but the service portion is what would come down, and there are some additional benefits in that we as your IT provider will also be your copier provider. I was helping Melanie out with an issue, and we ran into a situation where she wasn't sure if she was supposed to call the phone company or the copier company because of the issue was with the fax, which involves both services. The copier guys came out, couldn't figure out what was going on. I tested it on my little HP that I brought out here, and I could send a fax but not receive one, so I knew that the issue was with the phone guys, and they were able to help take care of it for me. So this little kind of finger-pointing things that tend to happen between your IT guys and your phone guys, or your copier guys and your IT guys, that's what we're hoping to eliminate, in addition to marginal cost savings.
All right, so what we need from the commission on this is I would like to ask for a motion to authorize Will to sign a 5-year agreement with Pacific Office Automation for copier and printing services in an amount not to exceed $215 per month. The actual agreement that Will is going to sign will differ slightly from the one presented because Jacob is giving us a little bit of a discount on our color copies. Questions?
The not to exceed amount will change, though, right?
The $215 amount is going to be for the equipment lease,
yeah,
which is exactly kind of how you have it today. And then the service portion is a separate invoice. The copy I sent has it at 10 cents a page for color on the HP. I've already gotten approval to lower that down to 7.5 cents a page, which is pretty much at our operating cost for those tiny little printers.
Make the motion as prescribed on page 37.
To sign a new 5-year agreement, Pacific Office Automation for copier and printing services in the amount not to exceed $250 per month. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a second by Commissioner Campbell. Further discussion? You have resident offices here.
Our closest office would be Beaverton, but we do have a number of clients up and down.
Okay, so response for parts or service?
Yep.
Is the time frame that you explain to me?
Yeah, so for a down machine, we guarantee a 4-hour response time. Now, not every service call is for a completely dead-in-the-water machine.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we do like to tell our customers is we have the largest local service infrastructure. So that's made up of things like inventory, parts on hand, and loaner machines. Like when Melanie said she needed a printer, I was able to grab one and run it out here in my car within about a couple hours. But the same can be said for, you know, down machines. Our technicians drive around with car stock of the most commonly replaced parts and copiers. And Melanie knows she can always call me or Cortland to escalate those sorts of issues. If she feels like she isn't getting a call back, which she will.
Any further questions?
Commissioner Stevens, I would just note on these that these last few agreements that we're looking at approving, they actually fall well below my spending authority. However, because they are agreements that extend past 1 year, that's the reason these are coming to the commission. Per our contracting rules, the executive director can't obligate the port into future years, even if the amount is small. So that's why this is coming before you today.
Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I have unanimous approval. Unanimous. All right. Moving on to, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Action item 8C, RFE201, Commission Chambers Audio Visual Upgrade.
So this
one, this one's kind of near and dear to my heart because Deanna and I have been working on this for
a while. Since April.
Yes. Yeah. So initially, when we were building out the space, we wanted to get a big AV set up, so we started going up to contractors, and we got bids back in the amount of around $30,000, $30,000 to $35,000. So it was a little bit yikes because sound quality isn't terrible, the video seems to work, it's obviously not great, but that just seemed like a big price tag to pay for an upgrade. So Pacific Office Automation jumped in, Cortland has been helping me come up with a new quote through Logitech for $13,000, which is big cost savings.
So I spent a few hours in this room looking at it from different angles, and I wanted to make sure that we could actually have all four board members, person speaking, and also this part taken care of.
We now have an AI companion that's available to you from Logitech that will sit right in the middle of all four of you. And as you speak or look, it will actually switch from one person to the other or give you all four at the same time. There will be a bar on this wall right here that will allow the people that are on the wall to see the person that's here and also the audience, and the actual camera moves with it. This is the same setup that we have at Pacific Office Automation, and it's the same setup that the Trailblazers have. Also the same setup that the Seattle Kraken have. So this is the newest technology that's out there, and it works really well. You just need a couple mics placed, a bar over that TV, and an AI companion that sits on your desk.
Normally we will have five sitting here. That doesn't change anything.
It does not. Okay. So there's four cameras on it that allow it to basically see from all the angles. Mm-hmm. And so it'll start, if I'm talking, this camera will come and pick me up at the same time that it will show the whole board. And also if Will were to start talking, it will basically position on him. Really, really good technology. And like I said, we use it for 40 meetings a day at Pacific Office Automation in four rooms. And they're always on and always using. The other thing about it is it comes with a device, a pad, it's a tab. So any of you can walk in, one button, start the meeting. If we want to add a laptop to it to present more material, we can. But without any computers at all, you guys can just walk in and start a meeting.
On the audio, can you describe the audio, how that would?
There's actually two microphone pickups that are actually going to sit. One's going to sit on your desk. One will might sit over here. And there's also another one that's sitting on the bar. It knows who's speaking. It knows that there's multiple people speaking, and it will actually noise cancel everything else out.
So it's semi-directional or somehow?
It's actually omnidirectional with all three of the microphones.
Okay.
So it really picks it up. So after I looked at this room for hours. I spent a lot of time just sitting from your guys' angle, from here, from there, and seeing what will really work. And this is the right choice.
The one time I felt had a train wreck with our system is that when we had a combination of Zoom and live meeting, and it was embarrassing. So that was, I think, the most difficult thing the system needed to accomplish. Is that going to work for that sort of scenario?
It will absolutely work for live meeting plus Zoom, which is what you guys have working right now?
Yeah.
Yes, it's actually designed specifically because of technology patents. Microsoft Teams and Zoom don't allow you to have devices to do both. This device is specifically designed for Zoom workplace that you guys use and will always work with Zoom. Flawless.
Thank you.
As you can tell, the Zoom is kind of like a church bell ringing in your ear. And you get quite a few people in here, so that's what we're trying to overcome. You got four deaf people sitting up here at the counter, and none of us can hear you.
I apologize.
I'm pretty excited about this, but I guarantee you I'm going to be the best test you've ever
had. All right.
I love it.
I have the best hearing aids you can get, and I struggle all the time. Still.
Okay. Melanie, is there anything further?
No, I think just the action item on this would be approval of RFP 0201 for the Commission Chambers AV on page 40 of your packet.
I make a motion that we approval 0201 to the Commission Chambers Audio Visual in the amount of $13,609.70.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion further?
Sounds good.
All in favor say aye.
Nice.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Did you vote, Frank?
Yes, aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Melanie. And we move on to RFP 208, action item 8G. Reseal hydraulic center swivel assembly on link belt, page 65.
This crane is the gift that keeps on giving, or should I say taking. So with us tonight, we have our head of maintenance, Joe Teddy. So Joe, did you want to talk a little bit about what we're doing here?
Hello, Commissioners. The link belt crane is currently in the shop at Triad Machinery for the computer repair. During their inspection, they found that the center swivel assembly is leaking oil. That's where we transfer the oil from the lower structure to the upper structure, and it's a pretty big job. It's one they do not recommend trying to fix in the field. So while it's in the shop, we would like to get it repaired and have the machine ready to go when we get the computer replacement done, and that's about it.
Joe, did they have any luck drying out the computer?
No, it was failed. Yeah, it did fail. So
I talked to Joe earlier, and he mentioned that he had contacted the previous owner about that system, and nobody was too enthusiastic about the system that he has.
So it is a good investment. You know, the machine is a good machine. Shows its age sometime like everything else, but it'll be in good sound shape when I get that.
So their total bill, or is that just an estimate?
The quote you see there is to reseal the center slope.
So $10,176.44. Plus $38,000 to do the control block.
I'm not sure exactly what the number is around for the computer replacement, but yeah, it's 33 or 34, I thought.
Just for context, I did also, like I mentioned, talk to Joe earlier. He talked about the cranes are put to use for on a fee basis for tenants, so they pay us to use our equipment. So this isn't just money going one way, it's money going mostly one way. But there is some recovery, cost recovery from that sort of use.
That's a good thing to point out. That computer upgrade, since Commissioner Campbell brought it up,
yes.
That is an upgrade.
Yes, it is.
In addition to fixing a problem.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I think we should note that.
Completely new system.
A service, the only system.
Yeah,
no longer.
Point, yes.
Yeah. I move we approve request for expenditure 0208 to reseal hydraulic center swivel assembly for the link belt, amount of $10,176.44.
I'll second.
We have a second. A motion and a second. Discussion. Anything further? Questions for Joe Duddy or discussion among the commissioners?
It's a little less emotional when it's not my equipment.
Okay.
They doing the work here?
It's at the Portland shop, Triad Machinery.
Yeah, to haul it up there?
Yeah.
Commissioner Spence, any questions or discussion? I'm not sure he's hearing me again. Well, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you.
You bet, Bill. Thank you. We're going to move on to our new arrived action item. Action item 8E, which is the second reading of an ordinance regulating encroachment into unauthorized areas. Director Eisen.
So I'll real quickly read through the preface to the ordinance. And as I think I discussed earlier, we would be asking for a vote to enact this ordinance tonight, and it would officially take effect in 30 days. So it's ordinance 2025-01, an ordinance regulating encroachment into unauthorized areas, whereas pursuant to ORS 777.190, the Port of Astoria may by ordinance establish regulations to provide for the policing, control, regulation, and management of property owned, operated, maintained, or controlled by the port, and whereas, as authorized by ORS 177.250. The port leases multiple port properties to commercial tenants, and through written lease agreements specifies the property that is subject to the lease, and whereas from time to time certain tenant operations exceed the leased area, thereby encroaching onto properties leased by other tenants or onto common areas intended for use by all tenants and the general public, and whereas the port desires to enact rules and regulations to address such encroachment and to enact penalties, therefore. Now, therefore, the Port Board of Commissioners hereby ordains as follows. The general purpose of this ordinance is to establish regulations to address encroachment by tenants and to establish penalties for the same.
Thank you. I think we can all recollect this. But is there any discussion? I need a motion.
You need a motion to so move. We accept this.
This is
into the ordinance?
2025-01.
Thank you.
RFE.
Just 225-01.
Thank you. And a second, please. We already have one? Okay, I didn't hear it. We got it. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous approval. Moving on to item 9. Public comment for non-agenda items. An opportunity to speak to the commission regarding port concerns not on the agenda. Anything? Thank you. And now, commission reports. Mr. Campbell.
Monday we had an airport advisory committee meeting and found out we're going to have a visiting fleet of antique aircraft here on July the 14th. They'll be arriving in the morning, and we're making arrangements to have some food on hand for them, and then they'll be taken off about noon, 1 o'clock, I might catch the weather permitting.
Excellent. How many?
Somewhere between 40 and 50.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a commission open house, too.
Pardon?
Hopefully we can go out there and see the planes.
It won't be an open house. It'll be open to the public, but it won't be a regular open house that we have. So.
How old are they?
Pardon?
How old?
These airplanes, some of them back in the teens.
Whoa. That's before you were born.
I know.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Mr. Rowe?
There was a senior meeting last week I was unable to attend. Otherwise, I would be reporting on that.
Thank you, sir. Anything else?
No.
Commissioner Spitz, anything to report?
Yes, just want to compliment all the commissioners able to make the meeting today. This area was hit by a violent snowstorm that shut down this area for some time. And the roads are open, the major roads are open, but we really got hit hard, and compliments to the city and county for clearing our roads. Good. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hill.
I don't have any report for this fine day.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple of items for me. I did attend the Finance Committee meeting. They have a new chairman, Mr. David Oser. And the meeting went well. I also noted in the Daily Astoria that issue about sea otters on the Oregon coast was mentioned, and they are bringing them back. It was some kind of support from the tribes, and the Department of Fish and Feathers are going to be putting them in. It didn't say where, but we can expect that. If you recall, we did have a briefing on that from a representative a couple of years ago, and it's coming to fruition. They're going to do it. I also noted in the Daily Astorian that Port Commission meeting agendas are appearing in there now. Before we have a meeting, they're receiving a copy of our agenda, I guess. There are a few errors in it, not major ones, but there were some, something's being lost in the translation. It's worthwhile to pick at it.
It's for the ordinance, it's just what we are expecting to have on the agenda.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing further to report, and we are due for executive director comments, item number 11.
Thank you.
Commissioner Eisner.
Thank you.
Commissioner Eisner.
So I guess to follow up on the agenda that appears in the Astorian, so typically we send out notices to the media, and then it would reference back to a link to our website to get a copy of agendas and packets. However, when we have an ordinance on the agenda, we're required to post at least a draft of what we anticipate to be on that meeting's agenda. And so that's where you can get some differences, because we actually send that off before we finalized our agenda so that it meets the publishing deadline. And so that's what you're seeing. And I've talked to Eileen about that a few times, and she says basically it's make a good faith effort to have the agenda, at least a close approximation of the agenda that you publish, that obviously would include the ordinance, and then if it changes, that's fine. But that's why you're seeing some of those discrepancies. So a few things. Before the meeting, I did pass out a one-page handout front and back of House Bill 3246. So I thought this would be interesting to take a look at. We've obviously been spending a lot of time lately talking about industrial symbiosis, how that applies to our byproduct recovery center. Several weeks ago, we had hosted the contingency out here from Denmark for a week-long event. And so this is a bill that's been introduced. It's sponsored by 13 representatives, has bipartisan support, and the act would have Business Oregon develop a plan to promote industrial symbiosis, which is defined to mean the use of the resources from one firm by a second firm. The act would have the agency submit a report on the plan next year, and directs the Oregon Business Development Department to develop a roadmap for the purpose of promoting industrial symbiosis activities in Oregon. So I think this is a really positive development given what we have going on here in Astoria and some of the ideas moving forward. I would think with something like this, if it eventually it does pass, that there's probably going to be some funding behind this, which could help us as well. So I thought this was pretty cool timing on this, so I wanted to make the commission and the public aware that based on a lot of the work we're doing and some of the work across the state, that this is becoming an issue that I think is going to have a lot of support. One other item I wanted to touch on, and I know I've talked to a couple commissioners maybe individually about this, but I didn't want to make everyone aware because it is a bit of a brewing issue. So the Port of Astoria has a unique system for water billing. And I'm not exactly sure how it came to be this way, other than it's been this way for a long time. But basically what we have is that the port purchases water from the city of Astoria that then is delivered to port tenants across port property that we then have a process for rebilling for those costs. And so what we try to be is a pass-through. So basically, whatever we pay out to the city, we would rebill minus whatever usage the port has. Now, I won't get into kind of all the minutiae of the different issues that come up when you have a system like this. They are many, and billing for water has always been problematic for the port. So with that context, we received a letter from the Oregon Health Authority sometime last year indicating that they had made a determination that because of this agreement and because we were purchasing and reselling water, that they were going to be classifying us as our own water district. And so through a number of emails, phone conversations, I've tried to make the case that we are not a water district. We don't do anything with the water. This is more of just an accounting billing issue. We don't treat water. We don't have a department in charge of water, because part of the requirement of being a water district is things like testing, reporting that has to get done, and then obviously if that testing comes back and exceeds certain levels, then as a water district, it would be incumbent upon us to deal with that issue. And if that were to happen, obviously that becomes a bit problematic because we don't ever touch the water. So it would be us saying, well, we're getting it from the city. You probably need to go talk to them about what's going on with the water treatment issue. And so there's been quite a bit of back and forth on this. And one of the hang-ups has actually been that here a number of years ago, probably 4 years ago, the port had enacted a fee on top of the normal charges that we would give tenants that's based on the City of Astoria's billing chart. And the reason that we did that has to do with demand fees. And so the City of Astoria has these large supply pipes that come down to the port. And so we pay a pretty large every 2 months demand fee to have that sort of supply. Well, then when we go to rebuild tenants, and say it's a tenant, an office tenant or something with a 1-inch supply pipe, well, we're charging them based on what the city would charge for that 1-inch pipe. But if you take in aggregate all of those smaller meters, they don't add up to what we're paying the city for a demand fee. And so what happens month after month, we were losing significant amount of money on this. And the idea is to get closer to break even. And actually, I would make the case that on an operational basis, you need to have a little bit of profit margin in there, because we're also responsible for all of the water infrastructure that's north of the railroad tracks. And so the state, through OHA, is making the case that because we enacted this 5%, that we're profiting off the water, which then classifies us as a purchasing water district and would require all this reporting. So working with our attorney, and Melanie helped me out actually just last night in putting some numbers together to send them a letter, because we can show definitively over the years that we're not making money on water. There's no profitability here. And this same system has been going on at least through what I could find, at least 2 decades. I don't know beyond that how things were done. And so our question is kind of what has changed now? Why the change? And then what's the benefit? I mean, the port could, in theory, I guess, move forward and do all that's required to be its own water district. But I question what the benefit would be, because we still end up with the same result of we're not treating the water, we're not even touching the water. And so I have concerns about the port then taking responsibility for what the readings might be through the tests that we provide and the reporting we do. So just wanted to make the commission aware that we've been working on this issue. We're getting ready to submit that letter from Eileen's office to OHA. There are provisions in the Oregon Administrative Rule that does give OHA some leniency and the ability to make exceptions, I think, for scenarios like this. And so we're hoping to get an override. It's interesting because the water department within OHA, I've called their main number, I've called the gentleman who emails us, and it's always the same one person who's answering the phones, answering emails. So I don't know if it's just a one-person operation who's making all these decisions. But we would hope that we could get a little bit of grace here and an understanding that there really is no benefit to doing something like this. So anyway, just so the commission's aware that that's going on at this point, there's no action for the commission to take, and I'll keep you informed as I know more.
Would it be considerable possibility to return it to the City of Astoria? Or?
So I have not taken that route yet. I think OHAA does determine that no, we are going to make you a water district and we are not going to grant you any kind of exception for this, I think that's something that, maybe we could work on with the city. Because I don't actually know why this whole thing came about this way. I've talked to some other ports and I can't find any other ports that have a unique setup like this.
What's in it for OHA to do this?
I'm not sure.
What is to their benefit?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Slap the tariff on the city for some smart.
And then two other quick items. We do, it's hard to believe, but budget season is going to be quickly upon us here. Staff will be starting to work on the 2025-26 budget in preparation for the budget meetings this spring. We do have a vacancy on the budget committee, so just wanted to make the commission aware we are planning on posting for that vacancy to see if we get anyone willing to step forward to help us out on the budget committee. And then SDAO conference is later this week over in Central Oregon, and so representing the port, we have Melanie and Deanna. They're going to be heading over for that conference Thursday and Friday, so we'll try to survive and hold the fort down with them both gone late this week. So I think that's all I have.
Questions? Questions, Frank?
No questions.
Well, I have to announce the upcoming meeting dates. We will have a workshop session on February 18th.